Good.
So, Om Aganat Timiranda Sha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur Miditam Yena Tasmai Shigurve Mahat. So there's two devotees taking initiation today, Daryl and Ananda, and Ananda's taking initiation from Hridayananda Maharaj, who I'm sitting in for right now, but she's actually going to be his disciple. I'm a Ritvik. And Daryl's taking initiation for me. So we're going to describe what initiation and what's the benefit of initiation. And of course, the traditional understanding of the word initiation is to begin something. And it's very interesting. To initiate a particular process or one's progress, especially in devotional service. So to begin any sort of education, because devotional service or Krishna consciousness or the Vedic tradition means, first of all, education, jnana. You have to get some knowledge. There's jnana and bhakti and vairagya, three things which are really important. I'll explain. Jnana means knowledge. Vairagya means detachment from this world, because this world has some problems to it, which we won't describe. Abhama bhuvana loka punavartino Arjuna. That's Krishna's verse in the Bhagavad Gita. From the highest planet to the lowest planet, you got problems. So, and then, so vairagya is necessary, and then bhakti, which gives you all those things, jnana and vairagya. Of course, vasudeve bhagavati bhakti yoga prayojita janayati asu vairagyam jnanam cha yada haitukam. That's from the Bhagavatam. It says that one who performs bhakti yoga, he gets automatically jnana and vairagya from this world. And he gets the highest happiness or highest taste, which is love of Krishna. And we all want to be happy. I don't think there's anyone here who doesn't want to be happy. So the problem with trying to be happy in this world is the happiness has a beginning and an end. I mean, just like the other day, I got a new computer. It made me happy. And I showed it to Gopal there, and I said, look, a new computer, touch screen, Windows 8, and everything like that. Isn't this wonderful? And he said, it's wonderful. I want one, too. Got to find someone to buy my old computer. So, but then, right now, it's pretty boring. It's not giving me that newphoria. We've used that word before. Newphoria, you get something new, it's newphoria. The unboxing, so to speak. So, we want Ananta Ananda. Forgive me for using your name. Ananta Ananda. We want Ananda means bliss, happiness, ecstasy. And Ananta means without an end. Anta means to end in Sanskrit. And Ananta, you put the A in front of it, it means without an end. So we all want unlimited ecstasy. One time I told that to my mother. That's why I became a sannyasi, to get unlimited ecstasy. And she said, no, it's not practical. You got to have the bad with the good. And she was actually speaking the truth, because in this world, in order to enjoy, you need the suffering too. In order to enjoy eating, you need to be hungry. In order to enjoy warmth, you need to be cold. It's like, well, before I came in here, I was a little chilly. Now I'm enjoying. And after a while, I'll suffer because it's too hot and it's 82 degrees. So, so that's the nature of this world. But we want Ananta Ananda. Don't worry, that won't be your name. It's not like a hint, you know, or anything like that. So, no, don't worry, it's not going to be the name. So we want unlimited happiness, and that unlimited happiness comes from bhakti, you know, devotion, because we all have a need to love and be loved, and that love we want to express in an unlimited fashion. So the process of bhakti is the original process given in the Vedic literatures. Even in the Rig Veda, it says, Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Pashanti Yat Suryaha, that even all the demigods, they're looking to Vishnu. So the recommendation all over the Vedas, we take the Brahma Sangita, for example, where Lord Brahma is praying, Iswara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Nadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. that Krishna is the source of everything. And so when we connect with the source of Ananda, not your source, but anyway, I have to be careful here. So Krishna is Satchit Ananda. Not only Ananda, but you also get the Sat rolled in and the Chit rolled in. It's a good deal, isn't it? You get eternity. You don't die. You never get old. Just like some of you may have seen that Peter Pan. Never get old, never get sick. Wow, pretty good, isn't it? Can any doctor give you a money-back guarantee? You go to the doctor, you know, you say, do I have a guarantee, you know, if I get old or sick, you're going to give me my money back? No. They never give you money back at the doctors, right? Never seen it. So Sat and then Chit, which is the knowledge we mentioned before, and Ananda. So this is what we want. But it's a scientific process. It's not that all paths lead to the same place. That's one philosophy that I've heard quite often. Yato matatupat, right? You heard the philosophy? Or as they say in English, a rough English translation is, I'm okay, you're okay. I was sitting with my spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, once, and he said, they say, I'm okay, you're okay. We say, I'm okay, you're not okay. That was Prabhupada's quote. I mean, he was sitting on the Vyasasam. We all rolled in laughter when we heard that. I'm okay, you're not okay. So there's a process, just like there's a process to do anything in this world. Like if you're fixing your car, there's a process by which each spark plug wire goes on a particular spark plug. I remember one time I was fixing a car many years ago, and I put the wrong spark plug wires on the wrong spark plugs. And guess what? It didn't start. It didn't break the car. I had to experiment a little bit. That's called the ascending process, where you experiment to see which... So it's better just to consult the manual, isn't it? Instead of just experimenting, is this the one that works? Is that the one that works? Is that the one that works? And you're going to be frustrated and drain your battery in the meantime. So what happened is I consulted the manual and I started the car right away. Usually we don't want to read the instruction manual. Anyone ever get anything you don't want to read the instruction manual? You know, it says, who wants to read the things? So then after about 2 hours of trying to put the thing together, you put the legs on the top and the... Then you finally read it and say, oh, that's where that screw belongs. I was wondering why the screw was left over after I finished the whole thing. So, you know, it's intelligent to read the instruction manual. So Krishna has given an instruction manual for our lives and for the universe, and that's the Vedic literatures. You have the original Vedic literatures, you have the itihasas, the histories, like the Ramayana. You have the Puranas, like the Bhagavatam. I mean, there's so many variegated Vedic literatures. But in order to understand the Vedic literatures, as stated in the Mahabharata, what is it? Tarko Pradishta Shutinanda, Vina. The Vedic literatures have a prescription for everybody. It's like going into a pharmacopoeia, that means a book that tells you about all the different medicines. And how are you going to know what to take unless you have an expert doctor and pharmacist, right? So the Vedic, Tarko Pratishta, Shutinanda, Vina. You'll never understand. Shutinanda, Vina. They're very variegated. There's so many different Vedic literatures, instructions for different people. Therefore, you need a spiritual master. I hate to use that word, master. It's not politically correct nowadays. A guru, that's more politically correct. And that guru has to be teaching you the Vedic literatures, not coming up with his own philosophy that, well, I think it's like this. Or I think it's like that. He has to be repeating what he's heard from his guru, and that has to go all the way back to the original person, Krishna. Govinda Madhi Purusham, Tamaham Bhajami. Govinda is the original person. And so, therefore, the spiritual masters has come into cyclic succession. We in the Krishna Conscious Movement are members of the Brahma cyclic succession. That is, Krishna originally taught the science to Brahma. Brahma to Narada Muni. Narada Muni is a spaceman. Everyone knows what a spaceman is? He doesn't have a space suit. And he travels with an instrument, his Veena. Not with an assault weapon, like nowadays people want to get. But he travels with a Veena, and he sings Radhika Ramana Namane. He sings the glories of Krishna and Hare Krishna. So, So, therefore, after Narada Muni, there was Vyas, and then Shukadeva Goswami, all the way down to the present age, and the founder of our society, Srila Prabhupada. And so we are representing Srila Prabhupada, and these devotees taking initiation today are taking initiation and connecting with Srila Prabhupada's society. We have many different gurus in the Krishna consciousness movement, but they're all representatives of Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada is the ultimate source of siksha or instruction in our society. Okay, so then what's the benefit besides the stuff about Satchitananda? And what is the process or the progressive path? And we're going to go through that very, very quickly. And we'll give an example of how the progressive path of Krishna consciousness can bring someone to the highest platform. Okay, these are the stages of spiritual advancement. I don't know if everyone can see that, but that's about as large as I can make it right now. The first stage is when you have this sadhu sangha, adho shraddha, initial interest in spiritual life. And that's when you're first exposed to some Vedic literatures and you have a desire to understand God, what is everything about, you know, who am I, what happens at the time of death. I remember that was my stage many years ago, I would say 63, that I was asking people, what is everything all about? You know, who am I? And everyone said, it's a great mystery. Don't ask that question. Don't be impertinent. Just be quiet and make money and support yourself. Go to university and become an engineer. I said, yes, ma'am. That was my mother. But still, I was interested. So after that initial interest, let's go over what's happening in the consciousness. Material attachments are still there. And as far as the false ego, which is called I and mine, you're really immersed still in the false ego, and you're still absorbed in what's called anarthas. Anartha means lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, all those wonderful things that we're attached to. And I'll give you an example of someone, not myself this time, who really had a lot of anarthas, because I don't like to talk about myself in anarthas, but his name was Ratnagara. He's in the Valmiki Ramayana. He had so many anarthas, he was a dacoit. That was his Valmiki before he became Valmiki. And he used to kill people. Imagine. Kill people, maim people, rape people, do whatever. I mean, he was pretty bad, to say the least. So he had all these anarthas. And what happened is that he associated with the devotees. That's the second stage, sadhu sangha. And he got a little message from the devotees. What was the message? Very interesting message, that you got a lot of karma, buddy. The Sapta Rishis said to him, you're doing all these things, you're going to get bad karma. He said, basically, my wife and children will share the karma. And they said, ask your wife and children. He asked them, and they said, no way, Dad, no way, honey. And you give us the money, you get the karma. Good deal, isn't it? They made him a little bit renounced and interested in devotional service, so he associated with the sadhus. And then he asked the sadhus, the Sapta Rishis, what should I do? And they said, do some, next stage, bhajana kriya. You see the bhajana kriya over here? That means the activities of bhajan. He said, I have difficulty doing that because I like to chant about death instead of Krishna's name or Ram's name. So they said, chant Mara, Mara, Mara. And they tricked him into doing bhajana kriya. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada, my spiritual master, tricked many people into doing bhajana kriya. In the beginning days of the movement, 1965-66, Prabhupada just said, come here and eat some nice prasadam. And they ate prasadam, and that was the beginning of their devotional service. And then he said, well, chant a little bit too. I remember the first time I went into a temple, and I liked the prasadam, but I didn't want to sit for class. So I thought, I have to sit for class because that's my payment for eating. I said, it looks really bad if I just come to eat. So therefore, I'll sit here. And I heard some real heavy things the first time I came. How Kali Yuga was coming, and I was going to be very short, living underground. You know, these are the symptoms of Kali Yuga, and it shocked me to death. So I began to execute, or let's go back to the story about Nagara. He began to execute devotional service. And by executing devotional service, Vajana Kriya, he actually accepted initiation from the Saptarishis. He heard the mantra, at least in a different form. And he became relieved from his distress. These are two of the qualities. And his life became auspicious at that point. Why relieved from distress? Because all of his karma was eradicated just by chanting one Ram Nam. That's the potency of Ram Nam, Krishna Nam. And everything became auspicious. But and then the anarthas started to disappear at that point. The unwanted desires, unwanted tendencies started to disappear. And eventually, he became so steady, there's that nishta down at the bottom there, that even though ants were around him, they were able to make an anthill around him. Did you know that? That's why he's called Valmiki. The anthill sage, that's what it means in Sanskrit. That he was chanting, and he was so... Could anyone be so stable in their activities that an anthill could grow around you and you wouldn't be disturbed? No, I don't think so. But he came so free of anarthas that the anthill grew around him, and later on the Saptarishis discovered this anthill chanting Ram Nam. You know, they walked by the anthill and there was Ram Nam, or no, Ram, 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 Ram. So the ants are pretty advanced spiritually here. then they realized it was their disciple, Valmiki. And he came out and they blessed him. So that's Nishta. And then we go on. Now it really gets exciting after Nishta. Then we get out to Ruchi. Ruchi means taste in Sanskrit. Where one has such a taste for doing things, just like we're all attracted to different things in this world. You may be attracted to football games, soccer games, hockey games, cricket. You like cricket? Yeah, he likes cricket. He has a taste for it. He hasn't advanced that much yet. So, so we're attracted, but then you get a taste for chanting about Krishna. So much a taste that you want to have millions of tongues. To keep chanting. You don't want to sleep. You don't want to do anything else. You're just in so much ecstasy. You know, life is like a concert, a constant concert. You ever gone to a concert where everything is just so wonderful, the music? Imagine being in 24 hours a day and it gets more and more wonderful. That's Ruchi. And every time you hear about Krishna, you get more ecstatic. And then after that, a Shakti, the stage of a Shakti occurs. And that means attachment to Krishna and simultaneously detachment from this world. And then after that we have, page down a little bit, then there's what's called Rati or Bhava. And that means you exhibit such symptoms of happiness that they're uncontrollable. Your hair stands on end. Your eyes, you know, tears flow from your eyes like syringes, like the holy syringes. Anyone's here ever celebrated Holi, where you get the syringe and you go, shh. What's it called? Pitchery or something? Pitchkari. Pitchkari. Yeah, I forgot the word. Pitchkari. You go, shh. I one time went, didn't know it was Holi, and I went to Barshana, and I discovered what Holi actually meant. Because in Barshana, the ladies attacked the men during the Holi, and they looked at me and they said, there he is, get him. And not only that, you know, rubbing me all over with dyes, and I was multicolored, a rainbow festival by the time I was finished. So that's what Bhava means, that the tears are coming out. You're so much ecstasy that it's uncontrollable. And then the final stage is called Prema. Prema means pure love, absolute pure love, that your only desire is to please Krishna. Radha and Krishna. and the Supreme Lord and the devotees of the Lord. So you're completely devoid of any other desire and you're so happy, nothing can disturb you. You understand you're not the body. Also, you understand you have a spiritual body. Right now, we all have a spiritual body, but it's in seed form. We haven't recognized it. That's the soul. It's called the soul, S-O-U-L. You know, everybody here has soul. You know, soul music. Anyway, so we all have a soul, a spiritual body. It's not that we believe that at some time our physical body will come out of the grave and you're going to look like you look now eternally. I don't want that. You know, personally, you know, I prefer a lot of other things other than that. So the soul, your spiritual body is also Satchitananda, like Krishna's body. And in other words, eternity, bliss, and knowledge. And it has a form in relationship to Krishna. And what you get to do in the spiritual world is play with Krishna all the time. You can play cricket with Krishna. Just think about that. That's the perfection of cricket. Krishna plays cricket. Why not? He's from India. So he doesn't play baseball. Anyway. So you can play cricket with Krishna. You can dance with Krishna. You can take care of Krishna. You know, maternal or paternal type of relationship you can have with Krishna. And it's unlimited ecstasy. Eternally, you get to do it forever and ever and ever. And it's always fresh every day. It's like, what we say, unboxing every day. It's like euphoria at every minute. And that's really what these devotees are aiming for. Of course, they're still in the beginning. They're still in the Vajana Kriya stage, which means that's part of taking initiation. Or initiation is part of Vajana Kriya. So in the Vajana Kriya stage, there's several injunctions that they're going to be following. One is chanting 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra every day. There's 108 beads in the strand. I'm not going to show you. You'll see them later. And each bead, you chant the whole mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's a 5-minute round. You chant one Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and you go all the way around 108 beads, and you do that 16 times. Sounds like a lot. Takes about 2 hours. But it becomes very blissful after a while. I mean, whenever I have a chance, I try to chant 64 in a day. And it makes me very happy, happier. So, chanting 16 rounds and following 4 regulative principles. Now, here's the tough ones. No meat, fish, or eggs. That's pretty easy. No intoxication. We'll get to the toughest again. No intoxication. No gambling, no Las Vegas, no Bahamas, you know, Paradise Island in Bahamas, and no illicit sex. And someone may say, why did you pick those 4? Why did you give me a good one like, can't say no cricket, but give me some good ones like, you know, no apples or something like that. That's pretty easy to follow. So the reason is that these 4 are the pillars of Kali within Kali Yuga. Kali means quarrel, disturbance, degradation. And they cause the lower modes of nature to overtake your consciousness. The 3 modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, we're interested in cultivating transcendental goodness. So we want to avoid activities that drag our consciousness down. And those 4 activities drag your consciousness, and they also have a karmic effect that's not so nice. There's a lot of reactions to things, like Newton's law. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. If you kill, you'll be killed. Just like the word, traditionally, when people were offering meat to the goddess Kali, they would say, Mamsa Kadati. That in your next life, guess what? You'll eat me. That doesn't sound so encouraging, is it? Imagine going to the supermarket and picking up some chicken and saying, in the next life, that chicken is going to eat me. Or imagine putting a sign in the supermarket. You know, going to the Walmart superstore, we should set signs up right there. This will be you in your next life if you buy it. You get arrested. But anyway, but that's honest advertisement, isn't it? This will be you. So there's bad karma for those things. So the people avoid those four things, chant. And while they're chanting, if you want to chant better and advance more quickly, there's a method too. You avoid what's called the 10 offenses against chanting. They're as follows. First offense is to blaspheme a spiritualist of any religion. You should respect people in every religion. And then second offense is to consider other entities like the demigods to be equal to or independent. It's not that everybody's the same. I'm God, you're God, we're all God, thank God. Oh my God. So there was even a movie called Oh My God recently. Anyway. So it's not like that. You know, there's one God, Ekala Ishvara Krishna. He has different incarnations, of course. But you're not God. You're a poor excuse for God. And then the next offense is to not conform with the spiritual master's directions. That's actually a nice way to say it. It doesn't offend anyone. So not conform with the spiritual master's directions. Wow. That's a good one. So because the spiritual master is speaking on behalf of Krishna and telling you what Krishna wants, and so not conforming with his directions is the same as not conforming with Krishna's directions. And the next one is to blaspheme spiritual literatures, like the Vedic literatures, or literatures which are in pursuance or in concordance with the Vedic literatures. Next offense is to consider the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, or any names of God, like Ram Nam, to be imagination. Next offense is to give some perverted, imaginative interpretation about the names. Next offense is to commit vikarmic activities against the injunctions of the Vedas, on the strength of chanting, thinking you can get away with any damn thing. Well, I know Krishna, I'm a devotee, I can do anything. Just like, you know, people may say, well, I know the mayor, I know the police chief. It works sometimes in this world. I was with someone in Fiji, and he knew the president of the country. So the police pull us over. We're speeding, and he says, you know who I am? And they said, no. He said, my name is so-and-so. Ooh, oh, okay. Please accept my humble obeisance. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Go on with your trip. You know, so you can't get away with that with Krishna. So next offense is to consider the chanting to be like just a ritual like you do. We have so many rituals we do. You know, we wear clothes like this. We put tilak on like this. We have nice rat tails, you know, sikhas back there. But it's not the same. Chanting is actually on a different platform. Next offense is to instruct people who may not make the best use or criticize. They're called, you know, faithless, but I don't want to use that term. On the glories of chanting. And finally, the offense is not to have complete faith and to maintain material attachments instead of trying to progress to the stage of prema. And also, it's offensive to be inattentive to chanting. So if you follow those rules and also have a positive attitude while you're chanting, you know, pray for love. Pray to become attached to Krishna, the most lovable person. You know, you may not think Krishna is God, but you should put up another candidate, if you think someone else is God. You know, compare them. Take two pictures. Here's a picture of Krishna, and here's a picture of some other guy, you know, big hair, whatever. Examine their two characteristics. You know, see which one is more attractive. Does he have the right proportions in his body? Is he too fat, too thin? Nose is too big? You know, whatever. Hair, you know, he's missing hair in different portions. But Krishna has all these characteristics. He's all attractive, all wealthy, beautiful, rich, you know, all those other characteristics. Powerful, strong, and so that, and renounced, too. He's so renounced that Indra sent down some demigoddesses to try to attract him. They did Bharatanatyam in front of him. And Krishna just yawned as Narayan Rishi. So Krishna is definitely God. And if anyone has any other ideas about someone else, please see me later. We can talk about it. So you should be praying for this love, this Ananda. Sorry, not that. You should be praying for unlimited eternity bliss and knowledge and connecting with Krishna. Realize your spiritual identity. And that's what initiation is. And the devotees are getting spiritual names to help with them with their identification as members of this process, and they're making certain promises, follow the four regular principles, and chanting 16 rounds a day. And Nanda's also taking second initiation at the same time. So she's going to, because she's been practicing for so many years, like at least 30, 40 years. And so so she'll be taking the Gayatri Mantra, Brahman, which means being equipoise, self-controlled, clean, austere, studying the shastras regularly and serving, basically. Yagana-Vigata, practicing what she studies, Astikyam Brahma Karma Suvavajam. Anyway, Krishna, you can study in the Gita the qualities of the Brahman. So now we'll, on that happy note, we'll proceed with the name-giving ceremony. Okay, the name-giving ceremony is when the prospective disciples take their vows. First they go to Prabhupada, the deities, and then they can offer obeisances to me. And, of course, Ananda will offer obeisances to her spiritual master, a picture of her spiritual master. The spiritual master is present in the picture. But if the spiritual master is physically present, feed him instead of the picture. You know, I had that once, you know. Why are you still hungry, Gurudev? I just offered food to you. So that's only when the spiritual master is not present. So I guess Ananda can come first. So Prabhupada, the deities, Prabhupada's first, of course. Prabhupada, the spiritual master, the deities, myself. A lot of exercise. Push-ups, transcendental push-ups. What's that? Push-ups. Okay, and then after that, Daryl should follow. Okay, that was quick. Okay, and so what are the four regular principles? No intoxication. How many rounds every day? 60 rounds. So on behalf of Ridananda Maharaj, who has authorized me, your name, get the beads with your right hand. Your name now is Ananda Leela Devi Dasi. Ananda Leela Devi Dasi. Very nice. And Daryl? From the country of Boston. If you think it's cold here, you should go up there. What you experienced the last few days was summer weather in Boston. So, what are the four regulated principles?
No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex.
Okay, good. And how many rounds?
16 rounds.
16 rounds. And of course, what I generally request, here's a big one. If possible, on Ekadasi, try to chant 64. It's not a order or a vow or anything like that, but it's good to do that. And Dara was very much into chanting because he organized like a whole e-group where people combine their rounds. That way you didn't have to chant 16. Someone else could chant for you. But no, people reported how many rounds they were chanting. And you had some goals. Just like we have our book distribution, there are certain goals, like 5,000, 10,000 books. So we had goals with rounds, which was really nice. So, okay. Oh, you want to get your name? Okay. So, he's a good devotee assisting in our Boston temple. We are a unified society, so all the devotees, I'm happy if the devotees serve in any temple of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. We all work together. It's so nice. Our society has over 400 temples around the world. We are a United Nations of the spiritual world. We have people from every nationality, you know, every race, every religious background. We don't discriminate according to gender, religious background, or anything like that. And you'll see that it's such a wonderful thing. It's like a multicolored experience we have. It's just beautiful. It's just very, very, very beautiful, our movement. Because it's just wonderful. Even in, I'll just say one thing before I give you your name. Sorry to make you wait. So even I preach a lot in the Balkan area. In the Balkan area, they were previously fighting with each other. You know, Serbia, Bosnia, Croatia. They were killing each other, mass murders, putting people in mass graves. And it's so wonderful. When we have our summer camps that last for about 10 or 11 days, we get people from all these countries, devotees from all these countries, just joining hands. It's like there's no difference. It's so wonderful to see that, so warming to the heart to see that. So this is what we're offering the Krishna Conscious Movement. In addition to the highest knowledge, going back to Godhead, eternal blissful life, and all those other things. I mean, I could go through, you know, education. You'll all be getting a brochure about what we offer, see. You can sign up on the internet. So, all right, you want to get the beads? So with your right hand, you get the beads. Your name now is Dira Krishna Das. He wanted a name with Krishna, so you got a Dira Krishna. And Dira means sober. You know, Krishna is sometimes sober and sometimes he's not. Krishna has four basic characteristics: Dira Lalita, Dira Prashanta, Dira Datta, and Dira Datta. These are the four basic characteristics of Krishna. Sometimes he's very sober, sometimes he's tricky, sometimes he steals, sometimes he tells jokes, sometimes he lies. But you're a Dira. You're a Dira Krishna. That means the sober Krishna. Das. Okay. So we'll proceed with the fire sacrifice. Kardama, you ready? Yeah, whatever. You do first. Let me know when you want to do the mantras. Let me just put this back here. So everyone could see.